Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what up, boxing fans? This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. Got off to a weird start. Something happened with my mic right away, so I had to kind of tweak it. Hopefully, it kind of evens itself out. Anyway, we are back with another episode. Was out of town last week. Had some fun, laid back with the family and whatnot. Got out of the city for the first time in a while. Everybody's doing okay just in general. For those listening, we do have 30 minutes left of the live stream. I kind of scheduled it at 9 o'clock Central, waiting for the fights to be done. The number to dial is 646-381-4990. That's 646-381-4990. So anyway, I was going to do a show yesterday. Actually had a guest interview lined up with a prospect, but I, life got in the way. Let's put it that way. Had to help out a friend in need. Everything's okay though. It just, you know, how life gets in the way once in a while. Anyway, we're going to talk about, you know, what we just saw on the screen. Cicedo Fredrickson, decent fight. Thought it might be a little bit more competitive on the scorecard than it was. Four fights in a little over 3 hours is not necessarily that great. I know they lost a fight, and that's to be expected. No big deal. But, you know, a mediocre card. I thought the first fight and the last fight were probably the most competitive. We did get an upset. I guess you could say an upset, right? I mean, on paper, it seems like a major upset or somewhat. Maybe not major. I overspoke. But anyway, so we'll start by recapping that stuff. We'll hit up a little bit quickly from last week. I realize it's Tuesday. It's a week. Some of that's a week or 5 days ago. I'm not going to go too deep into that. We'll kind of keep to this Alex Cicedo, Sonny Fredrickson main event. And then what else, you know, happened on the undercard. We'll look to the fight coming up in a couple of days, Thursday on ESPN. Of course, Tuesdays, Thursdays for the summer. Jose Pedraza and Lapierre. Is that what it is? Lapierre? that could be an interesting fight. We'll talk about a variety of things, whether it's the Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano thing, whether it's Top Rank actually in July, definitely getting snake bitten by COVID and injury. But some good news, though, DAZN USA is back. Golden Boy put out some fights. We'll break down a little bit and preview. Also, Matchroom Sports, which is, you know, mostly DAZN as well, USA. But they're back, too, starting in August with a big fight. So we're going to kind of break that down. There's a couple other items that we'll get to. Of course, we got to talk a little boxing Twitter. I got some doozies for you there. But if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville, I just said Living in Loserville. That's a different podcast. Sorry. It's boxing heavy, of course, but we do football, basketball. But if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio podcast, that's more like it. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. You can, you know, stream it live at archives. But, you know, if you're, you know, you listen to pods other places, I get it. You don't have to download it directly from Blog Talk or listen to it in the browser. You can find it on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher. I'm also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found anywhere. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you haven't, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. The plans start as low as $55 a month. 7-day free trial is available. No annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. They do have the cloud DVR. And right now, Showtime is only $11 for when boxing that way gets back. So that's AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. If your internet is just garbage, right, just horrible, trust me, I can relate, there is AT&T TV. That's more of your, you know, regular, normal cable platform. It's a growing platform. It's available here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of California, parts of Texas, all the way up to Seattle, other places like St. Louis in the Midwest. Basically, just Google it, AT&T TV, put your area code in there. See if you have it available in your area. But otherwise, AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, so we're going to get to the post-fight stuff here. Like I said, that's what we'll go with. And then I'll just touch upon, you know, Franco's nice win and stuff like that. The other Maloney looking pretty good. We'll just barely sneak by that stuff. Like I said, I realize it's been a week now and almost a week. If you look at last Thursday. So I'll just brief upon that. But we're going to start with some fresh stuff, okay? And Dante Stubbs was an undefeated guy, 6-0. Not much to, you know, write home about, obviously, as a prospect by any stretch. But Isaiah Jones, who actually 2 weeks ago got beat on ESPN, came back. He's 8-2, 9-2 now. Got a nice little victory. The first round. Stubbs maybe landed the better shots. Jones was probably busier. I thought Stubbs won the second and third. Kind of a few nice left hooks to the head. Some good body shots later in that second round. A few nice body punches finding a home along with the jab in the third round. I thought Jones kind of took over most of the action after that, though, with his jab as well. But he started to actually landed really good body work, started kind of, like I said, taking over the fight. There was some good two-way action in that fourth round, like the last minute or so. Jones was kind of sticking and moving every once in a while, landed a right hand or a counter right hand in the fifth. Close round in the sixth, that could have went either way. Jones landed 53-44, threw a little bit more to 241-218, 17-7 to the body. I had it about 3-2-1, maybe 3-3 I was okay with. 4-2, maybe Jones, but I had 3-2-1 for Jones. The cards read 57-57, 58-56, and then 59-55. I guess I can like I said, I could maybe lean 4-2, but I thought Jones did enough to win that fight, so kudos to him. And then we got Bauza. Bauza against Larry Friars. Was it Lethal Larry? some of these nicknames for, but I just leave it alone. But Bauza, like Wowza, Bauza, you know, he looked all right. He started with his jab and kind of countering left hands or like leaping left hands. Friars was kind of making it rough on the inside once in a while, you know, land a good short punch. Stick and move with check left hooks throughout the fight for Bowser. I did give, so I gave him the first three rounds. The fourth round I gave to Friars. I thought it was a little bit more two-way action. He landed really well to the body at that point, I thought. Something he did pretty much, that's probably the best thing he did. The fifth and sixth went to Bowser. You know, a few clean shots here and there. Kind of one shot at a time, though. Seventh round, better shots landed by the Lethal Larry Friars. And then mostly jabs in the eighth round. Pretty easy to score, you know, I thought through eight rounds. I had it like 6-2-ish, something like that, for Bowser. He moves to 14-0, 103 to, what was it, 72 or something like that. He pretty much handled them. But the body, there was a, 40-19 body shot advantage for Fryer, but that's about it. You had 79-73 and 280-72s. Yeah, 103-76, not 26, I think that was. But, you know, Bowser looked okay. Nothing much to write home about, but I think there's something there potentially. He looked pretty good. It'll be fun to see him develop. Like I said, he was fairly slick. Speaking of slick, I thought Josue Vargas was pretty slick, sturdy. I think I tweeted against Bracino, Salvador Bracino. You know, before this fight, they had a segment for Lomachenko and Lopez, that September 19th date that I talked about. And they're saying, you know, it's getting closer. They're just wondering if they can make it happen with a partial crowd. They were also talking about pay-per-view. When is a good time to put that in there? I know some folks won't like Lomachenko and Lopez on pay-per-view, but, you know, it is what it is. But I thought Josue looked pretty good for the most part. I thought he kind of was landing nice roundhouse shots, left uppercuts early and often, that's for sure. Timothy Bradley right away was like target practice fight, which isn't really selling the fight too much, but he did make a good point. It was kind of target practice. It's not like you could give that many rounds to his opponent. Pretty much easily outlanding him, out-hustling him. There'd be moments where there'd be two-way, you know, rounds. Don't get me wrong. The fourth was that way. That was probably one of the most competitive rounds. But I thought sharp footwork and accurate punching from Vargas. He kind of landing with both hands and then pivoting out of there. I thought he did a good job at that. There'd be moments where, Bracino would like kind of have like a good early part. He'd land some good hooks or something. He landed a pretty good right hook throughout the fight. But that would be about it. It was more of the same, pretty much easy to tell, but I thought Josue Vargas looked pretty damn good. I thought he looked pretty good. His father went outside of the bubble, which was kind of strange. If you think about it, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, that's kind of strange. Like the night before, or was it the day of? I think it was the night before, but, you know, either way, he handled them. Vargas, two scorecards, 190 and 99-91. Did a pretty good job overall. I think the body work, 33. Punches to the body, could have maybe upped that for 10 rounds, but 187 to 70-70, you know, pretty easy outing, that's for sure. So Vargas, still in prospect mode, does have a loss, but like I said, slick, sturdy, I like how he found what was open. I think Sacedo did a good job at that. Speaking of, we'll kind of move on to that. Carcino, I'm going to jump in here real quick with you in a second. Sacedo kind of started with some really nice hard jabs. It's something that he was pretty much doing the whole time. Landed uppercuts, left hands to the bodies. Few clean shots here and there in the early goings for Fredrickson, but he was basically like on the ropes and jabbing from time to time. Sometimes he'd have a couple of early ones, then it would kind of go away. Jab right hand. Decent defense at the start of the fight for Sacedo. He had his guard up tight, and sometimes he was blocking with his gloves. But, you know, as the fight went on, I think Andre Ward did a pretty good job of breaking it down. You kind of see that was kind of going south. But once you're leading on the card so much, it's easy to fall into that. Like I said, in the third round, those hooks around the guard were definitely evident. You could see Fredrickson, like I said, jabbing and then finally moving a little bit more. And I gave him the fourth round. He was jabbing more. It seemed like he settled down a little bit. You know, in spots, you could say Sacedo was busier, but I'd give him the fourth and the fifth, the jab, and then finally throwing a right hand behind it. Down the stretch, there was some good action, but could you really give Fredrickson much after that, those two rounds? Probably not. Not that, you know, there weren't moments where he's still popping his jab and landing some right hands, but the pressure, just outworking him, working to the body in the head with both hands. Fredrickson late in the fight started landing some clean uppercuts, maybe in the last 45 seconds of the eighth round. I noticed that. Jabs right to the body. You know, lots of jabs and then straight or overhand rights by Sacedo. So, you know, of course, like, we get out a lot of from this particular broadcast team, but overall, we got a lot of cheerleading broadcast teams in boxing these days. And, you know, to bring up B-Hop and Barrera, and I thought it's just kind of over the top. Like, oh, Sacedo's rebuilding his brand. And, well, I mean, those guys were pretty damn good fighters before they rebuilt on a much higher level, I thought, than Sacedo. But, you know, that's how they cheerlead. It is what it is. It's no big deal. Like I said, that stuff goes all around. But it's just funny sometimes how it's just like Max Kellerman and Lampley, how they talk about Golovkin's jab. It's like Hagler. And, you know, I get it. It's for the casuals. But right now, the casuals aren't really watching, to be honest with you. So I don't know. That part of it was kind of like, all right, dude, we get it. He's trying to rebuild and make a run. But let's not get carried away. But, you know, it is what it is. But I did think it was a good outing. Sacedo definitely busy. I mean, he threw 885 punches, landed 36%, 318 to 172 overall landings. Fredrickson did throw 584 and almost landed 30%. It did seem like the fourth round on, he did land cleaner, but still not many rounds. I mean, what, 8-2? I mean, 7-3 tops. Body, though, I thought Sacedo went to the body well, 63-19, so that was a big advantage. Scorecards, 100-90, 98-92, 99-91. So, you know, not much, like I said, to take home from for this card in general. But, you know, that's kind of what has happened in June. We've had some upsets. We've had some good competitive fights. And then we've had just squash matches. We've had just one-sided type fights. And, you know, with four fights in over 3 hours, it's probably not a good look when you had maybe, I don't know, like four, five, six competitive rounds somewhere in there, you know. But like I said, from Jump Street, we knew the ESPN product in June was going to be just okay to mediocre. Sure, some of it was just poor. Some of it, they even said it on the broadcast that these guys wouldn't be on TV if it wasn't for COVID in the short, you know, camps. And so that's part of it. You do have to put it in. But like I said, we've had some decent fights. We've actually had a couple of upsets too. Franco and what's his toast from the other week. I mean, it's been a mixed bag of stuff. You know, I just didn't have my hopes up too much for what we had on paper in June, and a lot of it was prospect-driven, not too many mid-level fights, but they've also had some COVID issues, which that's, once again, part of it, right? So all in all, it is what it is. The bummer, though, for Top Rank and ESPN in July is the injury bug, more so than even though there was some COVID stuff in there in July as far as the cancellations or postponement. They're getting snake bitten in July so far with some of their best fights for injury-wise. So that's a bummer because that July schedule, you could see they were kind of ramping it up, and now you're going to see some of these guys have full camps or closer to it. You know, after three or four rounds in a lot of these fights in June, let's face it, they just weren't able to have full camps or good, you know, their normal sparring and stuff. So that all plays into it. I know it's easy just to dog stuff. I get it. I know the ratings, numbers-wise, even though ESPN still performs pretty well in the demo, because that's just ESPN. But I understand the numbers have been low, especially if you look at a couple of them that had a good-ass lead-in and then they kind of fell off. But, you know, we'll see how July, you know, kicks in. The PBC is going to come back late July. DAZN, Matchroom Sports, and Golden Boy just announced some of fights. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about a variety of other stuff, too, on the show. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in Carcino and kind of catch up with him. What's going on, Carcino? How the hell are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there.
That's all you can do. So how you been, though, just in general, the last, say, few weeks or whatever? It's been a while since we've talked. We've been kind of just laying low, doing shows here and there. What's been going on, man? You been all right?
Oh, yeah, man. I've been hanging in there, doing what I do, trying to move around, staying busy. Spending a lot of time with my godson and all of those things that, you know, they're close by, and with the quarantine, you know, they're like the closest thing to me right now. So I get to spend a lot of time with them and watching them, like, kind of grow up, because they're like, you know, they don't understand why they can't go to their friend's house and, you know,
right,
and spend time with them over there. You know, they just don't even understand what's going on. And I'm like,
Even now, I don't even understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's the new reality right now.
Yeah, new reality.
And unfortunately, cards like this, this is the only way cards like this team is surviving, is to be on television. Because you're not going to, most house cards, they make their money, a little, some of it at the gate, and then the promoter normally has to eat that. You know, but their job is to try to promote the fight. So they're not going to make a lot of money when they do the house cards, but, you know, they have to have them to build the buzz. So the local promoters and everybody else put in on it and get a little sponsorship from the other surrounding, you know, businesses, the little house cards. Now they're almost impossible to survive. Those house fights, those house cards, really, those smaller cards, are going to be really hard to survive in reality.
Yeah.
Limited.
It's kind of like minor league baseball right now. You know, like they depend on that game so much, you know?
Exactly. And now, those, unless the fights are on television or being, you know, televised, you're not going to make any money. So that's the new, you know, like, wow, I can't believe it. You know, like, this is where we are right now. And there's already been so many cancellations of fights because boxing is probably one of the most, like, integrated as far as international fighters and fighters fight from overseas,
right,
travel here, for like, probably more than any sport there is. You know, boxing, you know, it's not just centered in America. You know, of course, you know, some of those big fights are here, but the UK, you know, you got guys that come here from Colombia and all over the world. And it's hard for these guys to travel to come to the States, get a fight, you know, and that happened with the Golden Boy, who's just, you know, Oscar's trying to do what he can do to try to fulfill some of these guarantees in his contract. And it's like Ryan Garcia turned down the fight, you know, that they had in place for him. He's like, look, that's not enough time. You guys are just going to put me into a fight when, you know, the person I'm supposed to fight, Linares, can't get in the country. You know, they were having trouble getting him in the country and all these different things. So it's been a challenge. It's been more than a challenge. And Oscar De La Hoya has been rumored to come back to fight Conor McGregor. I'm just like, you're back in the ring, what? He'll retire on his stool from injury in about round three. So,
well, you can't even get rid of the sniffles yet, Garcino, let alone have a full camp. I mean, every interview, I hate to say it, but every interview, he's got a cold for the last, what, 5 years?
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that'll just tell me how far fallen Golden Boy Promotions is right now. How a lot of promotional companies have taken a major hit. Because, you know, it's hard to be insured at this point for all of these different things. In boxing, in Florida, you know, they were just basically making everything an essential business. And then Jermell Herring, who Top Rank was building on and supposed to fight this month, he tested positive for the coronavirus. So now Jermell Herring has to, you know, quarantine for at least 2 weeks from his family. And he's ready to headline this boxing fight and defend his title this month. Now his fight has been going to be postponed due to the COVID virus, and this is going to be a sad new reality, because in boxing, you know, that's, you know, very severe, because if somebody gets it and you don't discover it in time, you lose basically your fight. The whole card could be gone. And
yeah, it's a tough-to-go situation, that's for sure.
So, yeah, and we don't know how long of a process this is going to be, because people are talking about 2021 and having maybe 2,000 people max in a facility. Everybody has to be at least 2 feet away from each other unless they came in together as family. And I was like, well, that's normally how it works. And I'm like, how are you going to do the concession stand? How are you going to separate people and they got to be 6 feet apart? People can't do that now. I'm like, you want to tell a Hispanic they got a quarantine? they touch each other. That's part of a language to Hispanic. They touch each other every 10 seconds. So I'm like, there's no way that's going to happen. And I was like, in boxing, it's all about touching. So everybody's touching, patting, grabbing somebody in the headlock, giving them information in the corner. I'm like,
right.
I'm like, it's already hard enough to hear the corner in a fight. Now he's going to be wearing a mask. I'm like, you can't wear a mask. That's not what you want, to have something to constrict, you know, constrict your breathing while you're in the middle of a fighting contest. That's out of the question. So, yeah, this, you know, much as I'm like, all right, boxing's back, I got a long way to go to be back.
Yeah, it kind of begs the question that I've been seeing a lot online is, did Top Rank come back too early? And you know, it's a tough question, because, you know, they're getting this out of the way. They do have a bunch of cards that they owe under a contract. They're still trying to get paid for it. And, you know, you're going to have to start up sometime, and they have done as I'd say as good as a job as far as the bubble and the setup and all that. I mean, we had Vargas's dad went outside the bubble before the fight, so that's not his problems. But do you think they maybe should have waited till like late July, like everybody else, or this is just kind of the process and they were kind of up against it?
They were up against it, and this is the reality of being up against it. So when Josue Vargas fought and, you know, lost his teeth and everything, it was hard for him to be there without his father, you know. And he didn't have his trainer and all this stuff, but he got the win. But, you know, it was, you know, it was a fight. So it was decent, but the thing is very difficult at this time, because a lot of people are used to having, boxing is about routine. Once you start breaking routine, that's when the problems set in. When the routines get broken, you got a major problem.
Especially in the summer, you're distracted,
yeah.
You know, you're worrying about your family, your job, the economy. A lot of people just watching news.
Yeah, and that's what was happening, man. I was watching the fight, and I just, it was like I'm watching it, but it's not like, and you said a very key word, like, and I think they probably said it on the telecast, and that was, we probably wouldn't be seeing this fight if it wasn't for COVID. If it wasn't for the COVID situation, this fight would have probably not be televised at all. But, I think the Saucedo fight against Fredrickson is basic. You know, it was a good fight for about 5-6 rounds. And then after that, it was clearly Saucedo's fight. You know, I mean, his body attack, putting the pressure on him. I just didn't think Sonny had any, like, real sting or meaning on the punches. And the later round, I think he was just, he threw some, but it wasn't no authority really on the shot. And he couldn't deal with the pressure at all. They wasn't, you know, affecting Alex too much at all. So he was just kind of going through all those little, you know, those little jabs he was throwing. Yeah, he was active at times. No, he couldn't deal with the pressure. And he was cracking, you know, so. But he had some moments early, you know, he landed some good shots. But the style of the fight was telling me that he was going to break down. The longer this fight went, I was like, the longer this fight goes, I think he's getting ready to crack. He's going on the rope on his own now. So I'm like, it's not going to be long. I thought he was probably going to get stopped later. But, you know, I had no problem.
It seemed like that. It did seem like that, but, you know, he showed a little heart late or whatever. But, yeah, it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, I thought it, that he definitely was going to, you know, I thought he was going to, a lot of people thought that it shouldn't have been unanimous like that. I'm like, what fight was you watching? And I was like, that was unanimous?
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't see it going any other way. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what they were seeing in the fight, but I definitely thought Sonny, it was. Saucedo won by unanimous decision. The more authoritative shot, body attack, pressure, to me, was clear. I had no problem with the result. Now, going forward is going to be quite interesting, because I don't know if we're going to get Lopez, you know, when we're going to get that fight. Is it going to be postponed? You know, and then what, this week we got the Pedraza fight, right?
Yeah, with the Lefier or whatever. Miguel.
Yeah,
that should be a decent fight. I wonder, though,
right.
You know how, like, so in the NBA policy right now is if someone gets COVID, they, you know, like everybody else, they sit out for 2 weeks, but they're told not to actually exercise a lot. They're told to just shut it down. Now, my thing is, for a boxer, how hard are they going? So, you know, his opponent, Pedraza, right, his opponent just tested a couple of weeks ago. Now, has he just been chilling for 2 weeks and then just come back and be like, all right, I'm ready to fight? You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird, like, I wonder, obviously, it's not a league, so they're not forcing him to sit. If they don't, you know, that type of thing. I'm sure he's doing something. It looks like Jamal Herring has been doing, you know, staying in shape and whatnot. But to me, it's a little funky to sit there and have someone test for COVID, have to somewhat shut it down for 2 weeks, and then put him right on a card. You wonder, you know, what kind of product we're going to get out of that.
You're going to have who else might have tested, and, you know, what they're doing in the bubble is they're using personnel, and this is the hardest part of it. The personnel that they're using, they're not, like, quarantined. So nobody's kind of quarantined in there, the people that's working it, the essential people. But they always have to, everybody has to have on masks. They can't be in the room with the fighters. It's the people that work there, the staff, they can't be, like, isolated in the room with the fighters. They have to always wear gloves and masks while they're inside of the bubble. And when they're in there, they have to quarantine. They have to take two temperature tests to make sure their temperature is right. Then after that, they have to go ahead and change the whole entry, you know, like when entering the ring. They have to already be at ringside. The fighters normally come down by themselves. Nothing directly is touched. You can't take your gloves off and go to the bathroom. You know, you have to wash your hands. You have to be, you know, they have to get the testing again with the monitors. Anybody tests positive, they take a second test and another in the hotel that they're in. It's a whole lot of things going on just to try to get a small fight like this going. And you got to do that for every single person there, but that still may not be enough, because people don't realize that you can get it through the eye test. So unless you're wearing a shield, you really are still, you know, vulnerable. And you can get it through the eye duct of your eye. Boxing is sweating, and the fighters, they're in the ring leaning on each other, breathing on each other, punching each other. The referees are there. I'm like, listen, if somebody's sick, somebody else may get sick too. That is another reality. So,
yeah, I mean, those droplets, you know, stay in the air for like 5 minutes, especially when you're breathing heavy, you know?
Exactly. And then now you're looking at a situation in which now you're seeing a pattern that's, you know, going here. That one person gets sick, and it's not just one person. You know, it passes, it's passing on. And you're seeing that from NHL, Major League Baseball, football.
Yeah, college football. Yeah, you've seen that a lot.
College football. And now the NBA, which is trying to start, and they're trying to keep things secret. And people are like, what are they doing? Here come, you know, all of this positive for the test. You got about 16 players. And all it takes is, you only got like five superstars that the league really cares about. You know, if one of them, if one of them happened to test positive, there goes your little mini tournament. And then 2 months later, here comes the league. And the last thing you want to do is go into this tournament and then get one of your players sick. But at this point, the NBA has got to do something. They can't afford to even lose the little bit of money that they're losing. You know, this little money is turning into billions for them. And it's going to be hard going into a collective bargaining. You know, it's going to be a new shock in reality, even in boxing. They're going to have to, you know, the contracts are going to have to be redone. And it's going to be a new reality. All these oil fighters, I can't fight for, I need $7 million. Or I can't get
right.
a break. It's like, you better hope you can get $1 million. That's going to be the new reality, because unless your fight is televised, sponsored, or, you know, that's
right.
the only way you're going to be getting money. The money from the gate, that's not even going to exist. People are just hoping they can get people into the actual boxing fight. You know, then you're looking at the vent, how they're going to promote, how they're going to, you know, open up the business. This is a harsh, very harsh new reality that people are trying to adjust for.
That salary cap and all the sports is going to be all messed up. And if you think of football, Garcino, isn't every offensive lineman and defensive tackle a health risk just walking around just to, based off weighing 315 pounds?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the thing is that you could be a big guy and be okay, but it's about health concern. You know, a lot of big people, you know, can get around, but say if you had a pre-condition of high blood pressure.
Right, pre-diabetes.
You know,
you don't even have to have diabetes. It could be pre-diabetes. And most of those linemen, I'm not trying to make a joke, but most of those linemen are pretty close up to diabetes, if we're being honest. Just the amount of stuff they got to put in their body to keep that weight on.
Yeah, you know, and you've seen guys, like, completely shrink. Like, some of those guys have lost so much weight. Yeah,
when they retire, they'll lose, like, 80 pounds, 100 pounds. You're right. That's a good point.
All right. Well, then I've seen guys just, like, hey, it's another day, you know. They haven't even been quarantined, and they've just been going with their steady motion, you know, going out, doing what they usually do. But staying active is a very key factor, like going for walks. And then 11,000 steps, you know, you're supposed to get in at least 10,000 steps a day. Right. So as long as you're keeping your body moving, you know, that's me working from home is my new reality. It's my new reality for the last 5 years. So I've been very fortunate.
You'll just go right into it, no problem.
Right. It wasn't a real big adjustment for me. So other people may have had, you know, this is a bit of a more of a struggle for them. For me, it was like, okay, I'm used to it. But other people are really social. Used to having a lot of people they talk to, it's a whole different reality. And because of that new reality, every line of business and everything that's attached to, like, boxing, it trickles all the way out. Because boxing and their families and everybody around them, you know, it's a very personable, you know, people around them type of sport. It's not really isolated. And it's very hard for a business like that to buy a house card. I'm just thinking about the smaller cards, like even the NBA, their G League, minor league baseball.
Yep.
They got all the smaller guys who are making $20,000 and $30,000 a year. You know, the G League basketball players, they were living basically dreaming of going to the pros, and they're living and traveling and, you know, that thing, they use that to pay their bills. They're barely making like $35,000, maybe $40,000 a year, possibly. Then you think about the vendors, the bartenders and waitresses. You know, unemployment's not going to cover what they're going to lose in tips. You know, that they make their living off tips. It's like, look, we get paid off tips. Now you tax on
right.
now. Why are we getting
yeah,
that
my
in unemployment?
Paycheck is to pay taxes. That's what my paycheck is for, you know. Because I've been working at a bar for a long time. That's exactly what it is. You're right. And you can't ask the business. That's part of that PPP loans is you can't ask the business to put a bunch of overhead that they weren't doing before, because they weren't, that cash, like you said, was going in our pockets from the customer. They can't just all of a sudden have this major overhead, you know?
Right. So, you know, people had to get inventive. And some people have even defied the actual law and said, look, I'll take the fine or arrest me, but I got to stay open, or, you know, this is getting ridiculous. You know, you've had, you know, adult strippers walking up and down the street protesting because they was like, look, we have a right to be open. We're an essential business too. You know, they're losing money. Everything that revolves around tips and person to person, you know, these things change. You know, very fortunately, I've already had it since January. I started a Patreon, and that has worked wonders for me. The Carcino for Life Patreon, and that was like, and now
and that's another statement too. That's another statement, Carcino.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen those numbers. Look at Mighty.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Mighty now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy now. I'm like, I can't even believe it. Some of the time.
It's phenomenal,
but,
dude. Because I've seen a lot of people go to Patreon, but not like the transition you made. It's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah. I mean, huge jump. So that's been, and I did that before we got hit with COVID. Now everyone's trying to do something like that to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. Even like the actors or whatever, they're doing the, come see me. I'm going to sing a song to you, you know, because a lot of these actors and entertainers and in business, they need these type of performances, or they need these type of, because even though they might make movies or TV shows, they're living from check to check. You know,
and
these
YouTube in general, the last year or so, they've seen a lot of their profit. It's just, they've changed a lot of stuff, as you know.
Oh, definitely. You know, and the advertisement money, like they didn't even give us an announcement when the COVID thing hit. They just snatched away half of the revenue. Like, it was like almost immediately after the NBA announced it wasn't returning. Like the March 18th was like D-Day. And it was like, that's it.
That seems like a year ago, doesn't it? Jesus Christ. Crazy.
To me, it felt like 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, man, wasn't it just March? Like, I don't even remember, babe. Yeah, I'm like, in April, I'm like, man, we went this far this fast, bro. We're through with June.
I can't believe it's July 4th this weekend, dude. This is just crazy, dude.
Exactly. That's what I'm like, this year's going to be over already. And I'm like, man, is it me or the world spinning a lot faster? And I'm like, my goodness, these days are going like, what? So the new reality is entirely a mess. You know, and we're just sitting here trying to get through the situations, and it's just crazy. Like, Andre Ward was thinking of actually coming back. Like, he was planning a possible comeback fight either this year or next year for a heavyweight champion, kind of hoping that he could make that fight only with Anthony Joshua, you know, if he do go up to heavyweight. And he really wants to kind of still make that a reality. Now, I don't have a problem with that at all. But now with this COVID situation, he hasn't kind of been thinking about that at all. You know, as far as coming back, that's kind of been moved to the back burner, and rightfully so. Now, the thing now that I think is going to happen is, by promoters and standoffish, they're going to have to work together now. They're going to be forced to have to work together. They're going to have to make fights happen, because all this ego of, I don't feel like working with him, all of that nonsense is going to change effective immediately. because
yeah, they're really going to have to do those swapping of opponents like they talked about this last year or two. They're really going to say,
yeah,
hey, you give me that guy, I'll give you that guy, and actually do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to go in my book. I just really have a hard time understanding why these things are happening anyway. It's like, it's just a no-brainer. But I'm like, it's got to happen. You know, the business can't survive going the way it's been going. You got to have that intervention in there. You got to have that, we got to work together. You know, this is it. We can't waste time anymore. We got to start moving in together to make the fight happen, because right now, this is not good. We're not going to survive.
Yeah, it's teeter-tottering right now. We're on the edge right now.
Exactly. So now fighters and promoters are going to have to say, hey, we have got to get together now and start saying, this is it. You know, we got to really put it together and put a betterment of the sport. We don't have the type of luxury to be fighting and negotiating over who's going to get what. We don't even know how many people are going to be showing up to these fights, you know, and all this new reality of people are going to be in, but they can sit 2 seats, you know, away from each other. And you're seeing how hard it is. It's hard to just even open the movie. You know?
I know, right?
And the new reality of boxing is in summertime bouts, or being in a place where it's warm, is doing outside fights. That's the safest place.
That's the best place.
This 4th of July weekend was supposed to be Mike Tyson versus Danny Briggs. And they were talking about having that at the New York, over there by the Statue of Liberty. They couldn't they couldn't get New York to approve it in the time that it needed to be approved. You know, it was too much, and it was just too soon. They weren't prepared or ready to have, you know, everything approved where that something of that magnitude could actually take place and be set up. It just wasn't enough preparation in New York. And New York is just, like, they're still struggling to get to a level. They're a lot better than they used to be. But they were behind the eight ball because people weren't listening and they were opening up things too fast. And sure enough, in Houston, I mean, Florida and Houston, same thing. You know,
Arizona.
They defied it because of the heat. They're like, well, it's going to be hot, so it should go faster. It's like, yeah, it should. But like in Florida, they didn't even give a 14-day, you know, let's go 14 days. It just opened right up.
But you see the beaches, you see the clubs, you see the restaurants where it'd just be 80 people on top of each other, no masks. You know, you're like, great. You know, well, of course we know what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, that's just where everything is now. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure it out. And it's just not making sense. And it's just crazy. I'm really having a hard time going through this process, man, of trying to wonder how are we going to do boxing. Like, what's going on? Like, I was sitting there watching people doing chats about boxing, and it's like, oh, such and such fight, such and I'm like, I don't know if such and such can even be in the same ring as such and such.
Right.
He's from another country. So
yeah, they're
I'm
just
like,
now starting to feel like flown over, you know?
Yeah, you got Wilder fighting Johnson. I'm like, I don't even know if they're going to be able to fight. I don't even know if Tyson Fury could even come back to the United States. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I was like, it's so much going on with traveling and people coming in from overseas, because I'm like, it's not just the fighters. They're going to want their families there. You know, you saw today, you know, the fighter breaking down crying. He got the win, a whole sway, but his father wasn't in his corner, you know. And you're breaking hidden routine. And fighters are some of the most superstitious people in the world. You know, because whenever you're in a sport of doing routine, this is a new reality. So that's where it becomes very hard to have success. Extremely hard. So I kind of understand where they are as far as pushing to try to get to that new level and that new, you know, that new spot. But it's a touch and go situation. Everybody's trying to use the best method possible, but survive because other businesses that affect you are compromised. Like, you know, sponsored by Corona. You know, you can't have that. The bars are closed. So now it's like, okay, bars are closed, and now you can't, they're not opened up yet, and some of them are. Now, like, they opened it up where you can go sit in a restaurant, but they had out bars are outside. You know, they were in the parking lot and in the bar. You know, people had to get creative. And in our town was like, our town was like one of the first ones to do it. You know, they built the patio deck thing, a little tarp over the top in case it rained. It got warm enough, and they were allowed to let people drink beer outside in like parking lot on the property. So that was good. It was, they needed to get back to some sense of normalcy, you know. And for people, you know, outlet, you know, they were talking about domestic violence is up. They're like, domestic violence has risen. Like, because this COVID situation, being isolated in the house, I'm like, believe me, there was problems there before COVID-19.
Yeah, it just sprang up. Yeah,
so then you're looking at the court situation, and you got all these social issues. You got people running around, you know, not quarantining and rioting and things that happen right where you live in Minnesota. You know,
is all the protests, but I'll tell you what, I'd say 80 to 90% of people had masks. And once you actually start marching, then you can actually separate yourself, you know, the 6 feet and whatnot. But we haven't had a spike whatsoever, and it's been a month. So the masks do work. I know that's a political statement to some people, but masks do work in a group setting. Just wear your fucking mask a little bit, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, look at New York City. New York City had humongous protests, and they're super low. So it's somewhat preventable.
You know, yeah, it is, definitely, if you take the steps to try to prevent it. Now, what the mask does is keep you from getting other people sick. Because unless you have the proper mask, the majority of them don't. All it does is you keep the germs to yourself. It lessens the fact of you giving it to someone else. So when you're wearing the mask and you're keeping your distance, this is the reality that you're facing. And, you know, sometimes I even forget. I'll be talking to somebody with a mask and I try to give them a pound, or I'll be like, I forgot how. Yeah, you know, I almost will forget it. I almost hug somebody. I'm like, oh, man. I almost hugged her. I'm like, what is going on here? You know, because you'll forget. You know, you're not used to this as the new norm. So I'm definitely can attest to that. You know, this
new reality.
Yeah,
I mean, that touchy-feely thing, that's part of the game when you're talking to, you know, women. I mean, that touchy-feely stuff goes a long way. And you can only, like, elbow bump and stuff like that. Maybe kneecap. You can touch kneecap, maybe.
Yeah, and now it's like fake air bump. Like, boom, all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people are having things at their house that they're not quarantined. You know, and I mean, I don't understand why people think because they're at home and they're barbecuing, that just eliminates all COVID situations.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that doesn't. And it just makes the situation worse at times. And, you know, I've seen some people lose a lot of family. My cousin got COVID-19 right now, but he's 18 years old. I had one cousin that was, like, really bad with it, and he came out, and he's, like, 22. So he came, and he was really messed up at one point, and he came out. He didn't know what was going on, and they waited way too late to, like, take him in. So it was a good thing they did, though. So I don't even know how he got it, but, you know, when somebody gets sick, everybody's a, you know, medical expert.
Yeah.
So it was like, when someone gets sick, they was, yep, I knew it. See, he stood too close to that. Remember it was cold that day? And he stood, he was like right next to the door. That's how it happened.
That dude just looked like he had COVID. I told you, he looked like he had COVID.
Yeah. He was like, I knew it. I kind of like sniffed one time. Said, oh, something's wrong with the air. Yeah, that COVID's been out here. Yeah, let me grab a towel. Yeah, people were doing anything they could. Like, people had scarves around their face. They were doing everything they could. Our guy was like a T-shirt wrapped around his face. Just so
right.
He can go in the school. And now you got these what they call them, Karens.
Go.
And I'm like, yeah, they're like the Karens are back. And I was like, what the heck is a Karen? You know, I'm like, I'm
dude.
Still scratching my head. And he's like, yeah, this Karen stopped me the other day. I'm like, who?
Dude, they're out. I mean,
Karen. I'm like, what do they call a male Karen? I was like, was it a Kevin?
I think it's Ken.
What?
I think that's what it's Ken.
Oh,
Ken and
Ken.
Karen.
Oh, God. Ken and Karen. That's crazy. I'm like, I've seen more Kens than I've seen Karens lately.
Well, consider yourself lucky then.
Yeah.
Because it's getting pretty bad on a wide variety with the Karens, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, these Kens, I saw the guy walking the supermarket and pushing the security guy. Sir, you can't come in without the mask. He's just shoving the guy.
Nope.
And I'm like,
I saw
oh,
that
man.
Too.
Yeah.
Fell on himself and messing up his leverage and shit. I saw that. That's
yeah.
And dude just put his hands up like, hey, I didn't do that. You tripped on your own self, sir. You know, like, don't put that on me. That
right.
Funny.
People just trying not to get sued. So, yeah, this new Boston fighting reality, like the UFC, I saw them, and they just, Dana White just wants to be the first one out. Like, everybody's following our protocol. We're the ones that came out first. I'm
right.
Like, yeah, you're the one that came out, got people sick, and did it because you have to come out. UFC is the type of fight they have to be on television. So that's the only way they're going to – they got these contracts that they got to – they want to be like boxing and have these guarantees that you're going to fight these many fights per year. They got to get these fights off. Or they're going to be financially responsible for things that they can't really afford. So they – have to get television, be back on TV, on ESPN Plus, or regular ESPN, so that they could get some revenue going. And they had to come up with a way to get these fights out to the general public. And they couldn't afford it. And I was like, the UFC is one fight. I mean, because people don't realize that UFC is not a sport, it's a company. MMA is the sport that they made, mixed martial arts. And they monopolized the business. They're the one big entity, one big company. Boy, everybody else is basically making peons compared to what the UFC is able to do. So when they got a stranglehold on the business, it puts them in a situation where this is the new reality. You know, this is the new field that everyone's in. As far as you know, the entertainment field. So they need it to be like near someplace where it's going to be essential. They're going to be protected. And they know they're going to have some people test positive. They had to try to work around it. Hopefully it's not some of the main part. But Dana took a heck of a risk early on. And it wasn't 100%, but they had to get out there. But now they all wear masks during the face-off, and I'm like, that looks terrible because we don't know who these guys are anyway. Now we can't even see them. I'm like, having the face-off is not even worth it anymore. I was like, you might as well just show me a picture of them side by side facing off. I was like, I think that looks better than anything
right,
else.
Right, I'll take
like,
your word for it.
Right, because I'm like, they're wearing masks, so you can't see them. So it's like, I can't recognize who is who. And this is what the whole thing of boxing is about, which is showing the fighter's face. The people get to recognize who is who. So that defeats the purpose of a face-off if you can't see their face. All purposes. You know, everybody's at home watching it, so there's no screaming women there. And I was like, look, you could have the weigh-in recorded, split screen, but they need to be seen. You know, their faces need to be seen in order for it to work. So for boxing in the future, I don't know, because like I told them, I was like, everybody's talking about the major money being made. Oh, it's big money. Oh, this money's coming. This money, this. And I'm like, well, look, this is the reality. The reality is this. Five fighters are really making some money, like heavy money. Canelo, Anthony Joshua, Fury, and Deontay, you know, Wilder. And that's about it. You know, probably one other light fighter.
Yeah,
that's making some money.
Has a big guarantee.
Yeah, yeah, Gennady has a big guarantee, and then that's it. But his rope was very small because now he's a scratch, you know. They're talking about putting Canelo and him together in a fight at the end of the year. And I'm like, it's gonna be cold. And I was like, it's going to be cold out, but not where they're going to be fighting, but for everyone else, it's going to be wintertime. I'm like, can you imagine dealing with this in the winter? People are going to get cold and, you know, having this thing looming. It's always a reality that this thing is going to be here for a while and might not go away. You know, so it's affected the meat market. It's affected a lot of things in the economy. That's going to be a new reality for people. And I don't see this change just going snapping and we're back to normal. The movie theaters are hard to open. They're talking about doing drive-ins again. Like some places have opened up drive-ins. And the movie theaters, like I've talked to them because, you know me, I'm plugged into my movies. And I'm like, I need my movies. They're having opening up, you know, it was supposed to be Russell Crowe's new movie come out. That got pushed back. Tenet was supposed to come out the week after that in July. And now that's pushed back to August. So they're very nervous about people not coming back out. So they're bringing out old movies, old classic movies back to the movies first. Empire Strikes Back is coming on July 10th. The Dark Knight series, all three movies. The Back to the Future trilogy. You have Inside Out by Disney Pixar. You got all of these old, like, classic movies that you can basically have at home on your Disney Plus. You can go to the movies to see. So that's the new reality right now. So it's like, you can do all these things. It's like, wow, okay, I guess I can do all these things now. Let me go and check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's a new normal that we just don't quite know where we're going to end up. I do need to get out to Portland before we shut this thing down, but I appreciate you calling in, man. You take it easy.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm glad I was able to make one. I'm like, finally, I made it.
And make sure you hit up that Patreon, Carcino for Life, as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right,
yeah,
man. Take
it
easy. And, take it one day at a time.
All right. You too, Chris.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All righty, Portland. We're going to get to you. You can kind of get into oh, you know what? I just moved the screen where I had. I must have fallen off. Whoops. I didn't realize that. Well, anyway, real quick, I was really impressed with Franco. I did tell you to put some money on him. I got him on a 6-1. Made a nice little chunk of change. Franco beat Maloney. Really closed well in that fight. I thought after the first two rounds that Maloney was going to start to cruise. It kind of looked like he was putting his punches together, going to the body. But, of course, that was a week ago, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. Christopher Diaz, I almost said Davis. I guess I just had Mr. Davis on, actually. Christopher Diaz looked pretty damn good, too, against Jason Sanchez. He kind of put it all together, looked really good. The other Maloney looked very good in his win, clear win. Abraham Nova was another fight, that Sparrow fight. That was okay. I had it 6-4 for Nova. Sparrow did okay in the middle, or he actually did really well in the middle rounds, but then I thought Nova took it over. What else we got from that? Picasso and Perez. I thought that was a pretty decent fight. Picasso ended up winning that. I had 7-3, Picasso. Jason Maloney is who I was talking about against Baez. Good little performance there. And then, so Picasso, Alan Picasso was on Saturday. Aguilera, real quick, like a few hard right hands. A left hook, and the shit was done. That was pretty – same with Burchell. I mean, he landed 232 to 37 in, like, six rounds. Landed a late left hand to knock him down right away. Burchell and Valdez, hopefully we can get to that. So, yeah, I'll just kind of close out the show just talking about – you know, we'll do a little boxing Twitter stuff like that, but – yeah, Top Rank, you know, that July I mentioned, you know, how it just, man, it's a rough one. They have been just, you know, first it was COVID that was kind of messing up their fights, but not all that bad. But, man, they really got, you know, hit with the, I was going to say the bug, like the flu bug, but I don't know if I want to bring that up right now. But, yeah, I mean, they had some injuries and some pretty damn solid fights. And, of course, you're going to have injuries. That's normal. And sometimes if it's a real deal fight where you really are having a full camp, maybe you're pushing it a little bit more than you had. But, you know, it is what it is. A couple of fights that, unfortunately, are off. The Alvarez, what was it, Alvarez-Joe Smith fight is off. That was... Yeah, Alvarez suffered an injury. That was going to be a light heavyweight title eliminator. Alvarez, Joe Smith Jr., July 16th. That's off, unfortunately. Maloney, by the way, against Franco. This is from Jake Donovan. The first four rounds, he suffered an eardrum injury. So that's showing a lot of heart there. I'll definitely give him credit there, man. Then you had Brancic against Zapata, which to me, that was going to be a fun fight July 7th. He suffered a rib injury. There was a couple other COVID. And then obviously Jared Big Baby Miller tested positive for a performance-enhancing substance, and he was pulled out July 9th. I guess Takum against Jerry Forrest, I think it is. I think that's taken over. But that's not like the biggest surprise, right? You did have, I mean, I think Top Rank has some blame in there to bring him back like that. But, well, you know, we've seen it. But, yeah, if you look at, for those keeping track, this is Idick. For those keeping track at home, Top Rank has absurdly lost four of its upcoming ESPN main events in the past 5 days. Five main events in the past 10. Two to COVID. Two to injury, one to failed drug test, man. Jeez, that's rough. Let me see here. Oh, rest in peace to Alejandro Gonzalez, Rustito, I think it is. A Mexican prospect. He unfortunately lost his life. He passed away. But, you know, this is like this is what Bob Arum was saying about Miller. Gerald Miller is serious about coming back, doing it the right way, becoming a heavyweight champion of the world, minor setback for a major comeback. And also, you know, he tried to play it off, you know, on some Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid stuff. Like, well, I mean, you know, like, I kind of believe him when he says he didn't know what he was putting in his body. It's like, who believes him? Do you really believe him? I mean, seriously, you believe him that, you know, you don't think he was putting stuff. This is what Arum said. Arum believes this is from Idick as well, boxing. This is February, you know, when he had signed him. Arum believes Jarrell Miller didn't know what he was putting in his system. That's just a crock of shit. But yeah, it is what it is. He's saying we got to investigate and all that, you know. I mean, whatever. You know, it is what it is. By the way, good news, though. Unfortunately, Top Rank has lost some of their good-ass fights for July that they had on the schedule. Some of them are, you know, being salvaged, though, I'd say that. We'll see what kind of shape these guys come in, though, like Takum, you know. But Virgil Ortiz against Samuel Vargas, July 24th. That's a Friday on DAZN. That's a good test for Ortiz, I think, especially in the time Martinez and Arroyo, August 15th on DAZN. That should be a good action fight. And then Jorge Linares against Javier Fortuna, Friday, August 28th. So that's, you know, I like that. That's pretty interesting. That's some good stuff. So Golden Boy coming back pretty damn strong, I'd say, considering some of the other fights that we've seen or some of the other fights that are on paper. So kudos to them. I think that's a good look. That's a good look. DiBella was saying it's going to be hard to impose a life ban, you know, on Big Baby because, you know, he wasn't officially suspended. He had to have been licensed by now, though, right? Plus, I mean, I don't know. I'm not huge on lifetime bans, but if nothing comes from this investigation, air quotes, he already tested, you know, in his kickboxing stuff. Now he tested here, now he's tested again. It's hard for me not to say, hey, lifetime ban. Matchroom Boxing, which is a lot of this is on DAZN, but, you know, in the UK, week one, August 1st, excuse me, Sam Eggington facing Ted Cheeseman. I know a lot of UK fans are happy about that one. Terry Harper and Natasha Jones, August 7th, with Anthony Fowler and a couple other folks on the undercard. You do have August 14th, a Commonwealth middleweight champ, Felix Cash headlines opposite Jason Wellborn, which that could be a good action fight. And then August 22nd, Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin with Katie Taylor in what is expected to be Amanda Serrano, but we just don't really know about that. And it's pretty messed up, that whole scenario. There's been a back and forth with this fight, Seriano. I think it's, what, three or four times now it's been on and then off. If you're trying to figure out about the situation a little bit, Jake Donovan did a nice piece just yesterday or the day before, Monday. Yeah, yesterday, on the situation, Taylor, you know, Seriano situation continues to get heated. Kind of goes over a variety of stuff. First we hear it's done, then we hear it's other fights, then we hear it's done, then we hear there's a possible for less money now, then it wasn't, then it was. We kept kind of hearing a little, you know, a variety of everything off of that. So I really don't know what's up with that. But what we do know, which really sucks for Serrano, you know, She had a chance to make, I believe, up to, what was it, $200,000 for a paid gig. I think it was like a five episodes on a reality TV show? And that's pretty huge, you know? But Serrano, just in general, was set to earn right around $300,000 May 2nd, $300,000 for the Taylor fight, which obviously would have been a career high. Obviously, it changed after that. Between June 16th and June 20th, this is from The Athletic, Hearn made numerous attempts to reschedule the bout August 15th, with Serrano making a reduced purse by 20% to Bella declined on Seriano's behalf. I know Seriano's also been saying, I like Lou, of course, but I didn't say no. There's been a little, there's been all sorts of thing. And DiBella was like saying, you know, on June 22nd, Hearn agreed to pay the purse laid out in the original contract, because DiBella was saying that's the way it should be. It's been back and forth, like I said. But here's an issue here. Serrano had already agreed to participate on the Telemundo televised reality show. Like I said, I heard it was up to $200,000, but there was a cease and desist sent out by Eddie Hearn saying, hey, you're under contract for a fight. But then we hear maybe now that's off. So if it turns out to be off, because it's been on and off, if it turns out to be off, that's messed up, dude. Even if it's $100,000, even if it's $50,000, whatever the hell, that's messed up, dude. That's messed up. So hopefully we'll get, you know, that fight. I really want to see that fight, but yeah, I don't know. Now, I will go over some other minor, you know, some boxing Twitter stuff to close out the show. There's only like 10 minutes left. Now, here's some more stuff from this Fury Wilder. I'm gonna play audio for Tyson Fury. Okay, and this is in response to Deontay Wilder's brother posting about a possible cracked skull, and it's like, let me see the X-ray all the way. Did they show an X-ray? I can't remember. I'm gonna actually go to it right now just to make sure. I mean, the amount of stuff coming out of this, it's just getting to the point where it's like, dude, what? So, is that your skull? Is that real? Did that really happen? It's just been all over the place, and for some reason I can't find the damn post. Here we go. You gotta bring you gotta have the X-ray. You know how crazy it. You know, it's crazy when you great, they got to do everything to underneath the real figure out how to stop you. Was discovered by doctors that my brother has a dent in the side of his head due to a blunt object struck against his head from his last fight. No glove or fist was able to cause that damage, according to the autopsy. My daddy once told me, if you pull a gun out on someone, you better kill them, because if you don't, they're going to come back, yada, yada, yada. So, autopsy is kind of a funny way to say that, obviously. But here is Tyson Fury's response to that, okay? I got it right here.
Hey, this is just a quick video to address all this foul play talk from Deontay Wilder and his team. I just read an article before saying that I might have had some blunt objects in my gloves. Yeah, two big 19 stone 7, 275-pound destroyers in each glove. So, yeah, getting punched up the temple may do that to you. But, you know, not unless Deontay Wilder's own trainer, Jay Diaz, is in on a conspiracy as well, along with all the Las Vegas State Commission guys who never left the room. Jay Diaz was in the room while I had my hands wrapped. He examined them. He was in there when I had my gloves put on, examined them. And everybody else was in the room. They don't leave you. We all know this. So everybody, psyching foul play. Bullshit.
So, you know, I want to see the X-ray. Was that a legit X-ray? I did see like somebody post something, but I don't think that was actually the real deal X-ray. But come on. I mean, just save it to yourself, dude. And just show up and beat him. That's really what you got to do. That's really what you got to do. Eddie Hearn, this is from the Athletic Box. I would like to see DAZN become a pay-per-view platform. Oh, I wouldn't like to see it. Sorry. I wouldn't like to see DAZN become a pay-per-view platform. But I do think to introduce the capacity to do it would be interesting. The only fight, the only way they're going to be able to air certain fights is pay-per-view, like AJ. Which is kind of crazy because they had all that money. You'd think some of it could go, you know, to that. But, you know, what do I know? What do I know? What else we got here? Got some boxing Twitter. Oh, we have some boxing Twitter. Oh, this was actually by Jake Donovan. Good call here. Golden Boy Fighters have now come home with titles, whether they're, you know, secondary or whatever, in three straight road trips. Joshua Franco joins Jojo Diaz and Patrick Teixeira to win titles on the road over the last 6 or 7 months. That is pretty damn cool. You know what I mean? That's a good look. Good job for those fighters. Did I mention that last week that Tyson Fury parts ways with the controversial advisor Daniel Kinahan and will be handled fully by Bob Arum? Sounds like he's stepping away from the scene for a little bit. Oscar De La Hoya, this is Ring Magazine, has declared that he's seriously considering making a comeback at age 47. He said he intended to see what happens with Tyson, but wants to fight a real guy against a top super, welter, or middleweight. Interesting. All right, here is some boxing Twitter stuff to close out the show. People are beating up TR, Top Rank, over the ratings, but dig this. They discovered that Maloney twins are good TV, Franco is good TV, and DeMarco, who did get screwed, I thought, is still good TV, can now properly place on pay-per-view cards. So you're telling me that Franco and DeMarco and the twins are paper, now they can properly place on pay-per-view cards. Okay, buddy. Here was Amanda Serrano. I just read Luda Bell and Eddie Hearn make deals on my behalf without speaking to me or my manager. Not sure this is even legal. You guys are discussing me, you know. I respect my manager, but I'm going to have to defend myself on this one. So that's kind of interesting. Okay, here we go. Whew. Rumor is PBC Boxing won't return until 2021. This is Boxing Twitter. Heyman should let his fighters go. I think the PBC is in a real bad spot at the moment. Perhaps once Brooklyn boxing hype could help the East Coast spring up for the PBC, but down south or west, very risky for Showtime or Fox to even entertain their idea. They're not as liberal like ESPN Plus or foreign markets. I mean, I hear Vanilla Ice is going to co-produce the Charlo Twins reality show. They won't box ever again, only box Gucci purses for international orders. So the PBC has not come back till 2021, and this guy, Mexican Business, says he should let him go. And you know, Brooklyn Boxing, like they're going to fill up the Barclays right now. Just mentioning this here in a tweet earlier, I should say. Amanda Serrano was set to star in a Telemundo show. Then Eddie Hearn, blah, blah, blah. So it's off, and then the fight is off. I don't know. That was kind of a weird. Someone sent me that. It didn't really line up with what I was talking about. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that about wraps up the show. I appreciate the listenership just in general. What else do we got? One more boxing Twitter. We'll shut it down. We'll save the good stuff. There's a couple other things, but we'll save it. We'll save it. Anyway, try to be as, you know, safe as you can. you know, wear a mask out in public, dude, if you're inside especially. But like I said, I've attended several of these protests, and like I'd say 70, 80, 90% sometimes people had the mask on, and we should be peaking like major, you know, since then, and it took a month, and it still hasn't peaked like it should, like they thought it would. So wear a mask. Let's stop making it political. I'm not a big fan of the two-party system. I'll just throw that out there. But we know now, science tells you right now that the mask, I know there was some in-between at the start, but the masks do work. I'm out. I'll be back maybe later in the week with a rewind old school thing if I have time. Otherwise, I'll be back Monday. Peace.
To this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude.